Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Five If by Flight by Martha Carr and Michael Anderley, narrated by Leanne Woodward. Chapter 1.
Mom!
Winland Underwood lurched upright, gasping for breath and reeling from her dreams. It took her a moment to remember exactly where she was. In her king-sized bed, in her own room. Upstairs in her Victorian-style house. She was back in East Calico Rock, where she belonged. But all night, she'd been up north again, inside the abandoned facility in the Lutzen Mountains. She'd been dreaming about the Arthasdal and her mother. Where did that come from? Pull it together, Win. You're home. Everything's fine. Something tickled her cheeks, and she quickly swiped at it, only to find the dampness of tears on her fingers when she pulled them away. What? Apparently, she'd been crying in her sleep. Winland couldn't remember ever having woken up with tears on her face, and she hardly remembered the last time she'd dreamed about her mother. It was hard to dream about someone who'd been out of her life for almost 160 years. She was clearly not out of Winland's mind, though. Now that her racing pulse and heavy breathing had calmed down, she flopped onto her back again, her head thumping into the luxuriously soft pillow, and stared at the bedroom ceiling. I should have gone to bed earlier last night. The thought of closing her eyes and trying to go back to sleep now was a lot less appealing than the thought of getting up and starting her day. With a tired groan, she stretched every muscle in her body, not bothering to pull back when both her hands thumped against the bed's headboard. She rolled toward her nightstand to grab her phone and check the time. Just before sunrise, and 2 minutes before my alarm goes off. Shouldn't have bothered to set that, apparently. Her dream was already fading. By the time she rolled out of bed, jumped in the shower, with almost instantly hot water and the perfect pressure, and got dressed, whatever terrors had flittered through her mind while she was unconscious didn't take up any room in her brain. Winland had more important things to do than worry about a strange dream that had woken her up in an even stranger way. As she brushed her hair, she thought about that long list of things to worry about. The most important right now was figuring out what the heck they were supposed to do with the four prisoners being held in makeshift jail cells in an old underground armory connected to the Ozarks Kamana. In only 3 weeks' time, everything she'd thought she knew about the safety of her town and how much they needed her to protect it had changed. One of those prisoners was the wizard Josiah Erickson, a former Silver Griffin agent who'd turned against the oldest and most respected magical judiciary authority on Earth. He'd done it to get the names of every single Orisiran refugee right here in East Calico Rock, including Winland's, so he could hunt them down. And he had. While Winland had been in Minnesota following her lead on the Warrior Witch with the custodian Hector Fang, the denizens of this small, hidden, magical community in the Arkansas Ozarks had captured Erickson and his hired thugs all on their own. They'd dealt with him in the best way they knew how, by locking him up in the old armory until the wizard gave them his side of the story. He hadn't bothered to give Winland that much last night, when she'd gone to see the only magical to break through the Crimson Heart's wards. Just the shock of a lifetime. She finished brushing her dark hair and instantly covered it up with her woolen winter hat. Of all the magicals here who'd seen Erickson, either when they'd captured him or as he was escorted down through the Kamana and into the acting Kamana jail, Winland was the only one who'd recognized him. She'd seen him before, met him face to face. She'd also known he'd be looking for her and the refugees fleeing from all the other hunters out there who wanted to set the record straight with descendants of Rosden's followers. She just hadn't known Erickson would find them so soon, or that he would come so close to causing serious trouble, or that he'd track them all down by following the trail of Winland's magic. They caught him all on their own, she muttered. She dropped her toothbrush back into its cup. The town didn't need me for a second, and I came rushing back anyway. So why do I feel like something awful's about to happen? What, like he'll escape? She stared at her reflection in the mirror and laughed without much humor. Yeah, right. Not with Carmine down there keeping guard. That old gnome's been through the ringer and more than enough battles. I know that just by looking at him. She'd felt the power of Carmine's containment spells around each and every makeshift cell in the old armory. They were probably even strong enough to have held Ravener Delowry at bay. So they were strong enough to hold an ex-silver griffin so bent on vengeance that he turned against everything he stood for. And still, the foreboding feeling of wrongness gnawed at Winland's gut, no matter how convincingly she reassured herself that everything was fine. She hurried out of the bathroom, made quick and messy work of her bedspread, then headed down the stairs. She wasn't worried about Erickson or the three low-life criminals he'd hired to help him break through the wards around East Calico Rock and the Ozarks Kamana. They'd gotten that far, sure, but they were never close to starting any real trouble. It's that stupid dream. Waking up with tears on my face definitely counts as the wrong side of the bed. Just keep moving through your day, Win. You've got nothing to worry about and plenty to look forward to. That last thought made her stop at the base of the stairs, and she chuckled at herself before shaking her head. Her most pressing issue right now was figuring out how Erickson broke through the wards, what he wanted and why, and deciding what to do with him now that his insane plans had backfired. Second to that was the fact that while Winland had been out chasing down the warrior witch for 3 weeks, the humble population of East Calico Rock had exploded way beyond the town's capacity to meet everyone's needs. The Ozarks Kamana had practically revived itself overnight into a bustling, magical metropolis underground, albeit a little less crowded than most of the dozens of Kamanas Winland had seen in her 163 years of life. None of those fell into the category of things she had to look forward to. They were check marks on her responsibility list. Of course, her conversations with Sarah and Ronnie Moffat were a treat. Winland's best friend was a wellspring of good advice, neatly packaged as the cold, hard truth. And Sarah's husband balanced that perfectly with a kind of humor that would make even the most crotchety old magical crack a broken smile. That wasn't it either, though. What she was looking forward to, as crazy and impossible as it seemed, was seeing Hector Fang again.
"Don't worry about me for the night. I'll come find you in town tomorrow."
That's what he'd told her before they'd parted ways in the Kamana last night, and she'd hurried back to her Victorian-style house on her own, the way she did every night. She'd traveled all day yesterday in a panicked rush to get back to East Calico Rock and save it from the Crimson Heart's warning of disaster, only to discover the town didn't need saving. So she hadn't been in the best headspace for making concrete plans or even offering Hector a genuine good night. Having recognized Erickson's sneering face from the other side of the cell bars hadn't helped either. Today was a new day, though. Winland had another opportunity to meet her responsibilities and her distractions, head on and with a fresh perspective. Apologizing to Hector for having left him in such a rush last night was a good place to start. She snagged her long jacket off the coat hook by the door, jammed her feet into her boots, and wound her winter scarf around her face and neck 3 times, and finally felt ready to step outside and take on the day. "If Hector said he'd find me, he'll find me. I'll head off to Common Grounds first, like every other day, and Sarah and Ronnie can fill me in on the rest." It was about time for another town meeting anyway. The last one had been right before Winland had taken off for her grand adventure across 3 states and all over Minnesota. Another town meeting would be an excellent way for everyone to get on the same page. That was, of course, if the town leaders hadn't already held one in Winland's absence.
She technically wasn't supposed to be back in town yet. She was supposed to be helping Hector Fang recover the Arthastal, using it to track down the Warrior Witch, and finally settling the unanswered question of whether or not her own mother was actually still alive. With a sigh, Winlan swept a final gaze around the living room to make sure she had everything she needed for the day. All that comes later. For now, just focus on what's right in front of you. Ready to do just that, she opened the door and shrieked. The wizard, standing unexpectedly on her front stoop with his fist poised to knock, widened his eyes and stepped back before chuckling wryly. I don't think I've ever been greeted quite like that, but I guess there's a first for everything. Hector! Fighting back another gasp to catch her breath, and the urge to clutch at her heart pounding furiously away in her chest again, Winland blinked quickly and broke into a surprised smile. Hi. That's more what I'm used to. They both laughed. Hector gestured toward her front door. To be clear, I was about to knock. Good. It'd be a little weird if you'd just been standing here for who knew how long. Weirder than showing up at your house first thing in the morning? The fact that he'd said it out loud caught her off guard a little. If he also thought it was strange, why had he come all this way to meet her without giving her a heads up first? It's not that weird, she blurted. Hector's blue-gray eyes glistened in the soft light shining down on both of them from the ceiling of the foyer, and his brilliant grin didn't fade even a little. It is, just a little. But I was up early and thought, what the hell, might as well walk her into town. I promise I wasn't trying to give you a heart attack. Ha, that'd take a lot more than an early morning surprise. Winlan glanced briefly behind the wizard to see the stark white, fluffy-tailed arctic fox called Nitya moving slowly across the frost-covered grass in front of the house, occasionally dipping her nose to sniff delicately at the ground. I just wasn't expecting to see anyone right outside my door, even you, and I... How do you know where I live? Still grinning at her, Hector leaned forward and, for a moment, looked more like he was about to pounce than his fox. I told you I'd find you. She laughed uncertainly and folded her arms. Yeah, you said in town. He glanced up at the eaves, nodding in appreciation, and gestured to the entire building. Isn't your house a part of town? Or did I pass the city limits and the wards without even realizing it? Narrowing her eyes, Winland tried to fix him with a serious frown, but she couldn't hold it for much longer than a second. Instead, she could only laugh. All right, fine. Yes, my house is technically still in town. That's what I thought. And you still haven't answered my question. He shrugged. Well, I wasn't stalking you in case you were remotely worried about that possibility. Not even a little. Heartening. Actually, I was up a little earlier than I thought. Mrs. Ridley failed to warn me about the snoring bear she keeps locked up in her bedroom at night. Hector's sheepish smile as he dipped his head looked genuine, and she wondered if he was actually embarrassed. So I headed out from the Kamana a little earlier, and found myself wandering aimlessly around the center of town. Had to stop an elderly gnome to ask for directions, which he was more than happy to provide.
Before sunrise.
Well, he just so happened to be the only other magical out and about in the darkness. He said his name was Monty.
Right.
Winland fixed the wizard with a deadpan stare.
I'll have to have a little talk with Monty about handing out private addresses to new magicals who haven't been here a full 24 hours, no matter how well-intentioned. Well, I'm glad you made it here in one piece.
Absolutely.
Hector spread his arms to show that he was, in fact, uninjured after his harrowing pre-dawn journey to find her. He peered inside her still-open front door and added,
I was hoping maybe you had some coffee brewing, but it looks like I got here a little too late. Hate to break it to you, but it's always too late for coffee in my house. When he looked surprised, she explained, No point in making it here when it's a million times better at Common Grounds, back in the center of town.
Ah, I guess that's where we're going first, right?
That was the plan. She reached for the doorknob and started to close the door behind her. Luckily for you, that's still the plan.
Speaking of luck,
Hector stepped toward her again, which didn't leave much room between them, especially when she was trying to get out of her house to get on the road.
When do I get a tour of this impressive house of yours?
Winland tightened her grip on the doorknob. Nice try. Let's just start with the town first, huh? Then maybe I'll give you a tour of my house, depending on how long you decide to stick around. The wizard widened his eyes at that and dipped his head slightly toward her. But he graciously backed off her front stoop, so she finally had room to shut the door. Winland didn't know if she was relieved or disappointed by that, but she'd made her stance perfectly clear. She hoped. Kinda hard to make anything clear with all this flirting, which I never thought was contagious, but now he's got me sending it right back. Leaving her comfort zone to flirt with an incredibly handsome wizard who'd raced across 3 states to help her in a mistaken town emergency wasn't all that terrible in the grand scheme of things. Winland could have done a lot worse than Hector. Keep your mind on the actual game plan here, Win. You have work to do. If the sexy wizard you teamed up with wants to tag along, that's okay too, as long as you hold it together. She smirked at Hector and joined him, then nodded down the dirt road that led from her house to the center of town. I'm guessing now you know the way back into town without a guide.
True, but it's nice to have a little company.
Yeah. She shot him a sidelong glance, not bothering anymore to hide a smile. It dawned on her that this was the first time since making it to East Calico Rock that she was walking down this dirt road first thing in the morning with anyone else at her side. It's not bad to be alone. Not bad to have a little company, either. Just don't get used to it.
Chapter 2
So,
Hector scuffed a boot along the surface of the frost-covered dirt beneath them as they walked down the road toward the center of town. For this early in the morning, with the gray-blue of morning twilight just before dawn lighting the sky, the air wasn't all that chilly.
Maybe that was because Winland had spent the last 3 weeks in Minnesota, where temperatures tended to be a little on the colder side. Or maybe she had too much on her mind to feel the cold.
The emergency parkas they'd worn 8 miles up a mountain through a February blizzard in Minnesota would have been way too much this morning. So? Winland scanned the woods around them, though there was little threat of being surprised by magicals or wildlife. She felt like she could see forever through all the space between the bare leafless trunks and branches of the deciduous trees. Since when does Hector Fang try to awkwardly start a conversation with a vague interjection? He looked at her instead of at the dirt road passing beneath them, and he seemed genuinely concerned.
How did you sleep?
A sharp laugh escaped her.
That bad, huh?
No, actually it was great to be back in my own bed.
You just what?
I just had you pegged for a conversationalist of a different caliber. Then you lead with asking about my sleep. I wasn't expecting it, she teased him.
Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Go right ahead. With his hands clasped behind his back, he looked up at the bare tree branches all around them, and his smile faded a little.
If it's any consolation, my capacity for stimulating conversation hasn't changed. It's just that when you took off so quickly last night...
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine, really. Though, honestly, I was a little worried about you.
Winland's breath hitched in her throat. Worried, huh? Hector chuckled.
Don't take it the wrong way. I'm well aware of the fact that you can take care of yourself.
Oh, good. Glad I've given that impression from the get-go.
No doubts there. You just seemed a little shaken up last night. That was after you had a few words with the town's new prisoners, right?
That made her grimace, but she quickly covered it up. More like the town's only prisoners. I don't want you to think we're in the habit of locking magicals up the second there's a little trouble.
I had no such impression.
He gazed thoughtfully ahead of them and inhaled sharply before continuing.
Last night wasn't the time to ask, and I understand that you wanted to go home and get some sleep in your own bed. But if you feel a little more up to talking about it now...
You know what, Hector? You're right. She shoved her gloved hands into the pockets of her long jacket. And while she couldn't feel the details of the soft curves and edges of her mother's pecan wood wand with her bare fingers, the slight but solid weight of it in her hand offered the same reassurance it always did. I was shaken up last night.
About your town's wards having been breached?
Hector nodded.
That's understandable.
Well, the breach happened. It was bound to happen at least once, whether or not I was here to stop it personally.
And you were upset about not having been here.
I swear he can read my mind, just not all of it. She tried to remember the details of how she'd felt last night leaving the Kamana. A decent night's sleep and strolling into town with this wizard beside her made everything feel so different. That's part of it, she agreed slowly. And the other part of it's a little more personal. Hector nodded.
I thought it might have been. When you came out of that tunnel last night, Winland, you looked like you'd seen a ghost.
She stopped in the center of the road and stared at him. He shot her an appraising smile and looked clueless as to why she'd paused their trek.
What?
That was ridiculously perceptive, as usual.
Thank you.
Hector dipped his head again, but it appeared stiff and uncertain.
I highly doubt you saw a literal ghost last night. If you did, that's a story I would very much like to hear.
She examined him for a moment, wondering how much she should tell him and in how much detail. You barely know the guy when... You can't go blabbing on about things that aren't any of his business, even if he says he was worried about you. Despite trying to convince herself to remain silent, she couldn't tell Hector to forget about the whole thing and stop asking personal questions. The scope of their entire relationship so far, no matter how short that scope was, or whatever their odd relationship was right now, or might possibly be in the future, was a jumbled pile of personal questions and half-truth answers from both of them. Hector had gone so far out of his way to help her with the problems she'd thought East Calico Rock faced, even though they had nothing to do with him. You obviously trust him a little, so give him enough to make this a real conversation. Then we'll see. She turned down the road and resumed walking. No, not an actual ghost. Hector was right by her side again as they continued toward the center of town.
That's a minor relief. I thought I might have to eat my own words there for a second.
Ha! Well, if I were telling ghost stories, I'm not sure I'd know where to begin. Unless, of course, we're talking about ghosts from the past. The wizard nodded slowly.
And that's what we're talking about?
That's what we're talking about.
I see. Winland, if you'd rather not go into it,
It's not that at all. She flashed him another quick smile and hoped it was reassuring enough. She wasn't bothered by talking about Erickson or any other part of her past. It was an issue of who she talked about it with, and that was something Winland had to get over if she was ever going to have a meaningful relationship with anyone other than Sarah, Ronnie, and her father. Whether or not it was with Hector Fang. His name is Josiah Erickson, she finally continued.
One of the prisoners?
Yeah, the one responsible for... Hold on. Winland frowned up at him, this time in genuine confusion. I didn't tell you anything about prisoners last night.
Right. He let out a self-conscious chuckle. I guess I'm getting ahead of both of us. Actually, we can blame Mrs. Ridley. She had quite a lot to say about the, how did she put it, four vagabonds getting more than they deserve by being locked up and left to rot. Wow, Hector shrugged. I felt obligated to humor her while she shared her bit of hard-won gossip. I think that's partly what kept me from getting the kind of sleep I'd been expecting. You mean that and the snoring bear, right? Of course.
Okay. So he's picking up all the information he can get from anyone who stops to give him the time of day. Talk about a guy who can fit in anywhere and still stand out so much. Winlan nodded slowly. Okay. So you know about the prisoners. Anything else you've discovered in the last 12 hours that you'd like to share, so I don't keep over-explaining myself and wasting both our time? He shot her another one of those coy smiles that made her wonder if legs could actually turn to jelly.
Our conversations have never been a waste of time. I'm not sure they ever could be, no matter how many circles we talked ourselves into.
Focus, focus, focus. Good to know. She was glad that if she blushed again, she could blame it on the winter chill and probably get away with it. Where was I?
Josiah Erickson, Hector replied without missing a beat. Prisoner of the Ozarks Kamana and priority threat as well, I imagine.
Right. At least that we know of, anyway. You know, as Orosiran refugees after Rosden's war, we've all been aware of hunters out there somewhere. All of them coming for us for, well, as long as most of us can remember, honestly.
Sure.
And I knew Erickson was one of those hunters.
You just didn't expect him to come here.
Winland shook her head. No, I figured it would happen sooner or later. I didn't expect him to be the first somehow, or for him to recognize me. That last little surprise clearly caught the wizard's attention, too.
He was an acquaintance of yours?
Of my dad's, actually. She couldn't believe she was laying all this out there with such ease, when there were already mountains of secrets between her and Hector Fang after knowing each other for only a few days. For that matter, there were mountains of secrets surrounding Winland's life, like a churning vortex that few people were brave or loyal enough to try entering. I've only met Erickson face-to-face twice before last night, she continued. The first was a really long time ago. Hector nodded, like all the pieces were falling together perfectly, although he didn't have them all. Winland didn't feel like she had them all either, which was probably why that sense of foreboding in her gut just continued to gnaw at her, no matter how hard she was trying to ignore it.
A friend of your father's, then?
He mused. Maybe, at one point, but acquaintance is more accurate. Let's see, I was 17, maybe 18, I think. So tons of summers spent with my dad and learning how to see the rest of the world through his eyes.
I remember you mentioning something along those lines during our first date, yeah.
First date? Already implying that there will be more, huh? After shooting him a quick sidelong smile, she forced herself to get back to the story. Hector had an impressive way of getting her off track. Anyway, my dad got called into a meeting with the Silver Griffins. I think they wanted his advice on how to deal with some kid they picked up off the street, using magic to steal or whatnot. I wasn't given all the details, which is a good thing now that I think about it. Probably stopped me from attempting the same mistakes, only better and without getting caught. Hector's abrupt laughter rang through the silent woods around them, now glowing an orange-yellow beneath the first rays of dawn.
I like this picture of young Winland.
Yeah, well, you're only seeing half of it. Long story short, Dad brought me into this meeting with him. Sit quietly, watch, listen, learn. Don't say a word. That kind of thing.
Erickson was in that meeting. He knew my name.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?